This is a play I wrote a few weeks ago, and if you feel like laughing, don't keep it in. And if you feel like thinking about it, don't keep that in either.
It's a stuffy, empty dining room in the Ladies' Mile in New York City on a hot summer afternoon in 1896. Edwina and her mother enter, carrying parcels. They survey the empty room. Mother points to the table with her parasol and barrels right for us.
Over here, Edwina. We can look out the window while we dine. Come along. Look oddly now. This interview is terrible. All my strength I had to open that sticky restaurant door.
Edwina shuffles clumsily to the empty room, her long skirt hanging into empty chairs.
Edwina, please, pick with a hairful. Ma, we can't take you anywhere, can we? If you could only be a little more delicate in your movement while you nearly crushed that poor clerk back in the sheet music department at Best & Company.
She looks around.
Oh, my. No server to pull out our chairs. I hope the food here is not as nearly as lax as the service. They are open all hours of the day and night, 7 days a week. That's what the sign on slide said. Perhaps it is busier at other times of the day or night.
She pulls out her own chair, locks graciously into her seat, and puts the water jug on the table.
This empty jug of water is just as heavy as it is full. Oh dear, the dishes have not been cleared. I'll think twice before I'm visiting this establishment. But it is close to the streetcar. We'll be back in Brooklyn before long. Nope. I did want to sit near the window and gaze out upon the street. All the finery and lovely ladies.
And she digs out some papers from her bag.
And look at my new piano sheet music.
She sits back down happily and snaps her fingers at Edwina.
Edwina Hoppington, come here and sit. Looking out the window would do you good. Just sit and we can watch all the lovely, refined young ladies stroll past. Maybe you'll get somewhat of an education as you watch them. Take note of their posture and grace.
Edwina pulls out her chair and sits ungracefully.
What an ox you are, Edwina. My word, you will never find a young man to court you if you plan on exhibiting those kind of manners. Terrible manners. No wonder you hide in your bedroom all day and night with those terrible manners.
She is in the room.
No one to clear the table? I'll just have to do it myself. There may be a very small gratuity left under the butter dish today.
Well, she takes them on herself to take the plates and stack them on Edwina's side of the table.
There. Now, I have a clean plate to enjoy my light meal. A nice kidney pie and a nice iced tea. You know what, Edwina? I think I have been here before. Dined here before with my second cousin a few years ago, around Christmas time. My second cousin Harriet from East Astoria, that dreadful village in the middle of nowhere. Queens, what a miserable place. Swamps, mud.
Edwina begins to look through a dead mountain of stacked plates.
You remember her. Short, plump, not too bright. No one courting her. No suitor. Like you, I believe.
Oh, gee.
And we have the kitchen pie, too. I recall it was very good. Nice and hot. And we had steamed cider. We had just come up from 14th Street. A lovely piano recital at the Lyric. Walked all the way up here. I remember the wind was howling and the snow was piling up everywhere. And the rail cars were clattering overhead on 6th Avenue. Of course, I'd rather be where she is right now, out in the middle of a nice breezy nowhere in East Astoria, instead of in the suffering heat. She has trees and farmland all around her, and she and her family can walk right to Bowery Bay Beach.
She found out this is what her daughter's doing.
Bring a Hoppington. Leave those plates alone. Server will be here in any minute. Just sit back and enjoy that overhead fan. The city gets hotter every summer. Even Brooklyn is hot. Not at all like what it used to be.
Edwina chooses the plate, lifts it, and looks intently at the remains.
You're too young to remember, Edwina, but when I was a little girl, before you were born, show how quickly we remember. Before that terrible warm spot, we would go to the beach too, pack up our big cooking pot early in the morning, and get to the shore by noon time. It was so cool and breezy that salt air, Father would dig for clams and oysters, Mother made a big fire, and we would cook them in a big pot. I would lie in the sand and look at my piano sheet music in the sun, then nap and dream about becoming a famous piano player.
She manages up the piano music.
I had such ambition back then. I practiced my piano every chance I could get, early in the morning until late at night, up the scales and down the scales and up the scales. Well, then we pack up and be back home for the night. I was too sunburned to sleep. I was in pain for days and days after. Couldn't work on my piano lessons, nothing. There was not a note of piano music in that house for a week. Then, the next week, we'd do it again. All summer long, Father would pack. Funny, now that I think about it, saved so much time back then if Father just went to the sea market around the corner from our house. Purchased a bushel of clams and oysters, brought them back home. Mother could have put the clams and oysters into the cooking pot right there. I could have stayed inside and worked on my piano lessons, cool and happy.
And we have starts to look.
My skin would be nice and cool. Mother and Father would enjoy the sound of my piano playing. They enjoyed their clams. And we
She bangs on the table.
Son! Embarrass what you are. You'd be better off locked away. Maybe we should put you on the next ferry over to that Black Rose Island, along with the other people who are harbor on in heaven.
She bangs the table again, and Edwina slowly puts down the plate.
Why on earth do you continue to do that, especially here in public?
To shut you up, Mother. For one thing, that's all I ask. Stop talking about the heat, your piano lessons, your second cousin, me, the lovely ladies on the street. You wonder why I stay in my bedroom all day and night, Mother? Why I take my meals in my bedroom and not with you?
Maybe we should not call you Edwina, but Nellie Bly. I'll send you off to Black Rose Island with all those sick and crazy women.
And to get away from you and your piano playing. Day and night, night and day. You pay more attention to your sheet music than me. Oh, Father,
what? I never thought I'd hear this.
She takes an enormous date book out of her bag.
Must have forgot to mark this date in my day planner. I must be too involved with my piano playing.
She writes it down now.
Tuesday, August 18th, 1896. My lovely daughter Edwina Hoppington will forget to mind her tongue in public and in front of her own mother.
Edwina stands.
Let us return home, Mother. The heat is getting to both of us. The fairy light was good. It's just too hot.
All of a sudden, she notices that a piece of paper has somehow attached itself to her mother's back.
Mother, something has stuck itself to the back of your dress.
Perhaps it is what remains of the knife you tried to stab me with your evil words.
But Mother, it's a...
She pulls a piece of paper from her mother's back.
A note, Mother.
She reads.
Due to the extreme heat, we are closing abruptly for the day. We regret any inconvenience this suddenness may have caused you.
She looks around the room.
Mother, you must have pushed open the door, broken the lock. We are intruders.
There was no lock on the door. They are open all hours of the day and night, 7 days a week. Why, what would they need with a lock?
And as they both look around, they realize they're the only
My, we are intruders. We have to leave at once. If we are discovered, we'll be considered thieves and be sent off to Black Rose Island for sure. The intruder's war.
She gets her feet.
Right away.
She picks up the jug of water.
But first, if we can be a dear and fill your mother's water just from those water pitchers on each table. No sense letting the water go to waste. No sense parching ourselves on the street car and on the ferry back to Brooklyn.
And we have struggles to take each jug and hits the table, pouring water into it.
Mother, can I tell you a secret? Something I've never told anyone else before.
Are you going to raise your voice to me when you tell me? Be rude?
No, Mother. I'm sorry about how I spoke before. But forgive me.
I forgive you, dear. Now tell me your secret. I adore secrets. Once, my cousin Harriet told me the most delicious secret about her brother Clem. It seems that Clem was in the woodshed one afternoon, and the woodman came by to deliver a cord of wood. Well, Harriet needed some kindling for the kitchen stove, so she went into the woodshed only to find, oh!
Mother, not that kind of secret.
She continues to pull up the jugs.
Oh, well, you know that I stay in my bedroom until most of the time when I'm at home.
This isn't my piano playing again, is it? How much more do you want to hurt your mother?
No. Well, not really, Mother. When you're in the piano, when you're in the corner playing your piano, well, the music puts me to sleep.
You sing in thousands of melodies created by my fingers on the keyboard.
And when I fall asleep, I have this dream. The same dream over and over again, most of the time.
The playing of the notes on my sheet music makes you dream.
In this dream, I'm near a cliff. And there's a wooden walkway going up the cliff. And there are people lined up on the wooden walkway waiting their turn. The walkway's whitewashed, very clean.
Do you hear my music and you're waiting in line in a dream? How silly you are, Rita. Hurry up with my water jug. Let's be going.
They're waiting their turn to jump off the cliff. In the dream, I go up to someone, a well-dressed woman, ask her why she's in line to jump. And she tells me that she and the rest of the people are so rich. They have so much wealth. I can't explain it. I may have to visit this dream again. They are so rich, they have nothing to do that day that they can jump off the cliff into the next day. They pay to jump into the next day. But they're never seen again.
And Mother gathers up her things.
No one can do that in a dream. No matter how wealthy they are, you need to open a window in your bedroom. Get some fresh air.
Well, Rita comes back to Mother's table with a heavy water jug.
And in the dream, I walk a little further away from the cliff, and there's another wooden walkway. This walkway is different, broken, faded.
Mustn't forget my piano sheet music.
Handing the jug to her mother.
And in the dream, a little further, away from the cliff, there's another wooden walkway. The walkway is different, broken, faded, doesn't lead to the cliff, but leads to a pile of dirt and rocks. And there are people waiting in line, just like the other wooden walkway. But these people are poor, dirty, and unwashed.
And Rita, how vulgar to have such terrible people in your dreams.
She goes to the window.
The heat must have sent everyone indoors. There isn't a soul on the streets. We'll be at the ferry and back in Brooklyn in no time.
Just like before, I stop a woman waiting on the rickety walkway, ask her why she's waiting in line. She tells me that the poor people cannot jump into the next day like the wealthy people can.
Well, that's understandable, given their low status.
So they line up on the walkway, and when they get to the end, they jump into the pile of dirt and rocks so they can be like rich people too. And after they jump, they dust themselves off and just go on with their lives.
She gets in her mother's line of vision.
Was it me, Mother, the dream? Every time I sleep, I go back to the same place and see the same people waiting in line. It's all I want to do is sleep and visit these two walkways and watch the rich people and the poor people jump off the end of each one. I watch them and I feel so frightened.
I think it means you are eating too much from before going to sleep, Edwina. All that food is giving you these strange dreams. No wonder you have that bulbous figure.
She gathers up her stuff and heads to the door.
And when the dream is finished, I slowly become awake. I hear the piano music playing in the parlor. And I feel safe.
She follows her mother to the door.
Perhaps the next time I want to dream, I will rest in the parlor so I can hear your piano music.
Thank you, dear. That means so much to me.
Tell me, Mother, which walkway would you choose in my dream, if you were in it?
I'd choose the walkway with the wealthy people, of course. What do you think money is for, anyway? I jump right into the next day, fly through the air with my piano sheet music.
Yes, never be seen again. I'd be in line with the poor people. I wouldn't mind getting a little dirty and a little spent and dust myself off and go on with my life.
What a pig you are, Lena. Keep rolling in dirt like that. What an eyesore you'd be. No gentleman would ever look twice at you. I'll never be the mother of the bride.
Exit. Same.